Hello and welcome to Straight to the Heart. My name is Peter Chapman. I'm the minister at Gerringong Uniting Church, and every week they let me loose in the Pulse 94.1 studios to chat to a colleague of mine, someone that's also on the front line of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ in our region. And today I'm very pleased to say it's an old mate of mine, Cameron Eccleston from Kiama Baptist Church. Cameron Eccleston, welcome to Pulse 94.1.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
Mate, it's great to have you in. Now, we go back a little way. Obviously, we've been having the Gerringong Kiama thing. We see a little bit of one another. But briefly, can you tell me, you know, Cameron Eccleston, you know, what's your story, mate? How come you're at Kiama Baptist? How did that come to pass?
Well, strangely enough, Peter, I thought it was Gerringong Baptist Church that I was meant to be a part of. We were holidaying, my wife and I, down at Gerringong, and she said to me, I wouldn't mind it if you got called down this way. And as a good husband, I kept that in the back of my mind.
So you prayed to God, hey, listen, God, this yeah. I'm sensing a calling.
That's right, that's right. And I saw, just within a week, I saw an ad come up for Gerringong Baptist Church. And I rang the Baptist pastor there and I said, this may sound strange, but I think God might be calling me down that way. And he said, oh, we've already talking to a new pastor, but give the Baptist Union a call in Sydney. And I did, and they said, no, you don't want to go to Gerringong. Kiama's just come up.
Kiama's the place to be.
Kiama's the place to be. And I said, no, 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 it's Gerringong. But
so what, the GPS was just a little bit off?
Yeah, just a little bit off. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there was a number of other things within that week that confirmed to me, oh, maybe the GPS was a little bit off and that was Kiama that God was calling me to. And so, yeah, we ended up in Kiama about 9 months later.
And the rest is history.
That's right.
Mm. So, mate, Bappos, the Baptists.
Yeah, yeah, we're a strange lot, aren't we?
But I love Bappos. Look, I love you, I reckon Baptists are doers.
Yeah,
that's, you know, it. Like that's my impression. I mean, I'm not a Baptist myself, but got a lot of mates that are, and got a lot of time for them. Not a lot of airs or graces. Baptists tend, in my experience, tend to be real people.
Yeah, that's it. I think we seek to be authentic. You know, we seek to actually live out our faith. We seek to take what we learn in church and actually try to live as disciples of Jesus, I guess.
Yeah, and if you had to explain what the characteristics of, say, the Baptist church would, you know, for people listening that aren't familiar with these strange things we call denominations, how would you describe the Baptists?
Yeah, well, that's the problem, I guess, with Baptist churches. If you walk into any Baptist church, you might find a whole range of different expressions of Christianity. You might find a whole range of expressions of worship. I guess as a Baptist church, we really feel that as churches we're autonomous, that is that we can dictate our own direction and how we express our faith in God. And so I guess that comes out of, you know, the Reformation days, mm-hmm. where the Baptist church sought to have an identity of its own and sought to have religious freedom, I guess, without fear of persecution. So to summarise what a Baptist church is a very difficult thing. I guess it's the same as a uniting church.
It is, mate, yeah. I think the denominational thing is breaking down. It's very hard to pigeonhole anymore.
It is.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to Cameron Eccleston from Kiama Baptist right here on Pulse 94.1. Straight to the Heart on Pulse 94.1. This is the program where we get inside the head of a minister or a pastor or someone working on the front line, for Jesus in bringing about his kingdom here across the Illawarra and the Shoalhaven. And this week, it's Cameron Eccleston's turn in the hot seat. He's been telling us about his calling to Kiama Baptist. Now, Cameron, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, your story? I mean, your formative years. Are you, you're not a Kiama boy, by birth, obviously.
No, not at all. I grew up in Sydney. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a Baptist church and gave my life to Jesus at 11. But on reflection, I'd always had a relationship with God. I remember a small boy, remember back to those early years and knowing, very envious of that small boy in a lot of ways, having a very pure relationship with God, just understanding who God was, understanding that he could talk to God at any time. And so 11, I might have said the sinner's prayer, so to speak, but it was a long time before that I had a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were fortunate to grow up in a Christian home then?
Yes, that's right.
How was that experience for you?
It was very good. I had a very stable home. I lived in the same house for about the first 22 years of my life.
Whereabouts in Sydney was this?
It was in Pico South.
Okay.
Yeah, in St. George territory, go the Mighty Dragons.
So you've come to the right place.
I have, Pete.
Much like myself.
I have, Pete, yeah. I said to the Lord, it's either got to be the Illawarra or the St. George area.
God is good, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, I actually spent 6 years in Menai, so I was actually in Sharks territory, but I've repressed those memories now.
What, you've exorcised the demons?
That's right. But yeah, no, we grew up in Pico South. So I went to the one primary school, the one high school all throughout my time. I had the one house, went to the one school. So it was a very stable upbringing.
Mm. So it was a blessing in that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so tell me about, you know, family life. You grew up, you grew up and got a job like everybody else? Or, you know, were you just straight into the ministry? How did that work for you?
Well, I like most 17, 18-year-olds who finish their HSC, I was a little bit confused about what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I knew I wanted to serve God, but I didn't think that would lead me into full-time ministry. I thought that would lead me into a financial institution situation. I was very good with figures. I studied at university before going into Bible college. I worked in a bank. And I did environmental science and economics at university. And the furthest thing from my mind was to go into full-time ministry. I think God had to shock me into going into full-time ministry. And that happened with two events, really. The first event was New Year's Eve, 1993. I was working in a bank as a bank teller. And some armed bandits walked into that bank and held me up. And they got away with a measly sum of $2,000. They had all that risk for $2,000, but they were desperate. And that's a very life-changing situation where your life is under threat. And I was, at the time, on Scripture Union Family Mission, Beach Mission at the time. And the bank counsellor said, go back to that. That's the best place for you to be at the moment. And during that next week...
So you were on Beach Mission at the time?
I was at Beach Mission at the time.
But you were working in the bank?
Well, I was working part-time. I was at university. Okay. And so I had to go back for two 3.5-hour shifts.
Okay.
And one of those was New Year's Eve. And so I was working 3.5 hours New Year's Eve. I was about to head back after my shift back to Umina. That was the plan. And in that 3.5-hour period, those bank robbers decided to rob me.
It is a life-changing event. I mean, I worked at a bank as well, and the branch just that I had just left was held up.
Yeah.
And I know for the staff there, it's highly traumatic.
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have a lot of adrenaline pumping through your blood for the next few days, and then you have an almighty crash after that.
Mm.
And it's very challenging, not only emotionally, but physically as well.
Yeah. I think one of the comments that stood out for me in that time in the robbery, when we were up at Dubbo at the time, was that the staff there were saying, well, that the people who did this don't actually realise the human toll. They didn't they didn't stop to think about the human aspect of what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and it really affected some of the staff in that branch, having a shotgun shoved in their face.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, really hurtful stuff.
It's very sad. Just recently I've heard... three shops within Kiama have been held up just within the last few weeks, and it saddens me every time I hear that because there is a human cost to that. It's very traumatic for the people who are involved.
Yeah, and as you say, I mean, so often, the perpetrators get away with such a measly amount of money. I mean, it's really not a lot of money for the amount of risk, is it?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, tough times. You're listening to Cameron Eccleston on Pulse 94.1. He's sharing a little bit about his journey with us today. Cameron, you're telling us about your formative years working in the bank. I mean, how did you then come to feel called into full-time ministry?
Yeah, well, the week after I was held up in a bank, I just experienced God in a fresh and new way. I came to realize that it was all about Him, that all I had to offer was nothing in comparison to His grace and His love for me, and God was amazing in that week. I saw so many amazing things happen after that week, and came to realize that if I was to be in partnership with God, then He needed to be in control. Not that that necessarily led me into full-time ministry, but I can look back at that moment, that week after I was held up in a bank, and recognize that that changed the direction in my life. A few months later, I was living in a house with two other blokes, and one of those blokes was in Bible college already. He was studying at Bible college, and I was talking to him about my confusion about what God wanted me to do, and he just said to me, "Cameron, you know what? You're not going to be happy unless you go into full-time ministry." And it was just like a light going off in my head. I just realized, you're right. You know, here I am struggling with this decision. I'd been struggling with this decision for about 7 years at this point after my HSC. Struggling with this decision, what does God want me to do? And it was just that simple comment from that one guy. And it was just, yeah, you're right. I need to go into full-time ministry. I'm not going to be happy unless I'm doing what God's calling me to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you decided then, you know, went to Morling College, which is the Baptist college.
Yeah.
Yeah. How'd you find that?
That was a hard experience, to be honest.
Okay.
I expected Morling College. I was quite naive. I expected Morling College to be the closest thing to heaven that I'd experienced on earth. But it was, you know, a lot of broken people trying to sort out their faith in Jesus. You know, I had my faith tested probably two or three times during my time at Morling College. Mm. Everything I understood about the Bible, everything I understood about God was deconstructed, and then I had to reconstruct that. And I have to say, my faith was stronger because of that process.
Yes.
But it was a tough time. There was some spiritually dry times at that place, which seems strange. But
so you had some assumptions challenged?
Oh, absolutely. I grew up in a very conservative church, and I had most of my presuppositions, like I said, deconstructed, and I had to reconstruct my faith from the ground up. But that was a very good process.
It's a good thing to do, isn't it?
It is.
Because I think sometimes we grow up with the belief somehow that the Bible, you know, God threw the Bible down out of heaven and it hit Paul on the back of the head and it was all there in English in chapter and verse and away you go. But of course, that wasn't how it happened.
No, it's not.
So you've got to somehow then work out, okay, well, what do I do with, you know, how the Bible came to be, being both Word of God and Word of Man?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I found that a challenge as well. I think most of us do, but it can only be a good thing, can't it?
I think so. I think so. If you get the right guidance, of course. Too many times I see Christians trying to do that by themselves, and we had good lecturers, and I had a good network of friends around me that helped me travel through that journey. And, yeah, it gets... I get concerned for people who try to do that for themselves. You know, they really need help and guidance and, to be led through that process because it's a very difficult time.
It's a team sport, isn't it?
It is.
Just following Jesus.
It is. It is, absolutely.
Especially, I think, in ministry in those tough times, you definitely need, you know, mates around you, loved ones around you who are looking out for you.
You do.
You know, people that are prepared to not just be selfish, but they're prepared to go the extra mile for somebody else.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and you received that at Morling College?
I had some very good friends at Morling College. We had a young guy at Morling College that was applying to become a part of God Squad, and he lost his life within the first 6 months of our time at Morling College, and that really galvanised our year and made us very, very close as a year group, and that really helped.
Yeah, the God Squad being a, sort of a Christian bikey
motorcycle gang, yeah.
Yeah, so they minister to the outlaw gangs, don't they?
They do.
They're not running any drug trade. They're ministering to the outlaw bikey gangs.
And have a lot of respect amongst those outlaw motorcycle gangs.
Yeah, you didn't feel that calling yourself, Cameron?
No.
Not nearly hairy enough, are you?
That's right. That's right. Those who know me know I don't have enough hair to become a bikey.
You and I both, I think. You're listening to Cameron Eccleston on Pulse 94.1. Straight to the heart with myself, Peter Chapman from Gerringong Uniting Church. With me this week is a colleague of mine, a mate of mine, Cameron Eccleston. He's the minister at Kiama Baptist. Now, Cameron, can you tell us a little bit about, being a minister? You know, how does that work? What are the joys for you? What lights your fire getting up in the morning for you?
Yeah, well, I guess for me, my desire is to get in step with who I claim to be God, and that is Jesus. And my passion is hopefully what he is passionate about. That's a journey, of course. So each day I learn how to do that more and more, I hope, and get in step with him. And my belief is that Jesus' passion was for those outside the church, and that's really what my passion's about. I guess since my time in Kiama, I've seen three churches close down. Mm. And my comment to my congregation is always, if we were to close down, would our community miss us? And that's our desire, that if we were to disappear, that our community would mourn us, that we are serving our community with God's love in such a way that if we were to go, they'd be sad that we would be gone.
I think it's a very important question to ask, isn't it? You know, I think all churches need to be asking that. Firstly, you know, if we weren't here, would they even notice?
That's right.
Yeah. And secondly, would they mourn us if they did? You know, if they even noticed, would they be particularly concerned?
Yeah. And I don't think Kaima would miss us at the moment, but again, we're on that journey. You know, we're seeking to love and serve our community in such a way, through God's love, you know, that they would miss us if we did disappear.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And your church is in a process of change, but you're looking to build, aren't you? You've got a new property that's all happening.
Yeah, that's right. We've actually sold property. We've sold land out in Kaima Downs, and we've bought an industrial unit in the middle of Kaima, and 600 square metres, and we're looking to fit that out over the next few months. Hopefully, by about mid this year, that we'll be in there worshipping God and serving our community.
Because you're currently worshipping in Kaima High School, aren't
we
you?
We are.
And so you're looking to get your own space?
Yeah, which was never a desire for me, to be honest, but there are some benefits that come from owning your own space.
Yeah. You're listening to Cameron Eccleston from Kaima Baptist right here on Pulse 94.1. Straight to the heart on Pulse 94.1 with myself, Peter Chapman. With me this week is Cameron Eccleston. Cameron is the minister at Kaima Baptist. Now, Cameron, you are sharing with us a little bit about how you're moving from worshipping in Kaima High School and moving into your own premises. I'm always keen to explore, you know, what does that mean? I mean, there must be challenges that come with worshipping in somebody else's space, but there must be advantages as well. This is wings and roundabouts, I assume. I mean, how's that experience been for you in you know, purchasing this new industrial unit and looking to move in? How's it going, and what are you looking forward to?
Sure. Well, Kaima High School has been fantastic to us over the last 7 years. We said to them we'd probably be in there for 12 months. 7 years later, we're still there. And they've been fantastic. They've accommodated our needs for the most part. Occasionally, we have some issues with, you know, conflict of the requirements of that property. You know, there are schools, so they need that hall for exams sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it's hard for us at times to pack up exam tables and put out chairs for church and then to pack up church and put those exam tables back out. There are times where many in our church desire very much to have their own space. And that's what was weighing on me, despite the fact that I personally wasn't too concerned about whether we had our own church space or not. Many in our congregation were very keen for their own space. And so it's given us a bit of excitement, given us a focus for the next 6 months. My challenge will be, at the end of that 6 months, is to make sure that our church doesn't feel like it has arrived when it goes into the building. It's been a process that the church has been going through since the mid-90s. So you can imagine some 20 years later, when we finally get into a new building, that there would be this sense that we have arrived, and I want to make
sure. You stop wandering in the desert. You're no longer a pilgrim people. You've reached the promised land.
Yeah, and you know what? The Lord's been gracious, because it's only 20 years, not 40 years that we've been wandering.
You must be doubly as holy as Israel.
We must be. Yeah.
I mean, but it is a serious question, because this relationship between churches and property and churches in their building, I mean, when you speak to the bloke on the street and you talk about a church, I mean, he thinks in his mind, he's thinking a building, he's thinking bricks and mortar. But of course, the church isn't a building, the church is a people, isn't it?
It is a people, and it's a people of God that seeks to share God's love with their community. That's what I think a church is anyway. But you're absolutely right, Peter. Many of the people of Kaima don't take us seriously at the moment because we don't have a building, and there is some benefits in having a property of your own.
I think so. Because, I mean, there's a big school of thought in the church at the moment that, well, you know, churches, you don't need a building. You know, you don't need any of that stuff. You should just be a people. You just be a movement. But I think perhaps that is sometimes a little bit naive, that you know, the reality is, you know, a church, a gathering of people, needs some practicalities because we're living in this earth, and shelter and a space to worship is one of those, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just convenient as well.
Yeah.
You know, you actually release resources to do other things rather than setting up school halls and packing up school halls. And that can be tiring, yeah. You know. People get tired of doing that.
Yeah. So share with the listeners, share with us a little bit about where you're moving into. Where will we be able to find Kiama Baptist Church?
Yeah, well, if you head up Terrellon Street, which is the main street of Kiama, and you come to the fire station on Terrellon Street, if you turn right at that point, before you hit the main highway and go through two rock walls, you'll come out of those rock walls. And
the old quarry.
The old quarry, that's exactly right. Mm. And there's an industrial unit there that used to be self-storage units. We've purchased that and we've cleared that out and we're looking to put some walls up and get in there by mid-June, we hope.
Awesome. Yeah. You're listening to Cameron Eccleston on Pulse 94.1. Straight to the heart on Pulse 94.1 with myself, Peter Chapman. With me today is Cameron Eccleston. He's the minister at Kiama Baptist Church. He's been telling us about their wonderful plans to move into new premises, a place of their own. Cameron, can you share with us, a little bit about, What are the hardships for you? What are the things that really presses your buttons in ministry?
I think politics in ministry, which sounds strange, doesn't it, that we as churches have politics sometimes, but like any other organisation, I just find the politics very difficult to deal with sometimes. Not only the politics within my own church, but the politics across denominations as well. And, we as a church need each other. We need each other. We need the different denominations. We need to work with one another, be in partnership with one another. And it frustrates me still that some sections of the church don't see that and see other churches as competition rather than partners. You know, we don't have the ability anymore to see ourselves as competitors. We really need to see ourselves as partners.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's the flip side? What are the things that really make you want to jump out of bed in the morning?
Seeing people come to know Jesus and serving people, showing people God's love, just being there. Strangely enough, when people are in crisis and they need God's love in their life, even if they don't have any connection with church, they are the times where I feel really energized and jump out of bed. When they're in stressful situations and they call me to be a part of that intimate situation and to bring God's love into that intimate situation.
It's a privilege, isn't it?
Absolute privilege, yeah. I'm not suggesting that I know what I'm doing in those situations. I often find myself out the front of people's houses just asking the Lord to be with me and to be his hands and feet in that situation.
Yep.
But it is an absolute privilege to walk into those situations and try to share God's love in those situations.
Straight to the heart on Pulse 94.1 with myself, Peter Chapman. I'm the minister at Gerringong Uniting Church. And with me today is a colleague, a friend of mine, Cameron Eccleston from Kiama Baptist Church. Cameron has been telling us about his joys and his struggles. Cameron, I'm keen to know a little bit about the time you spent in the US. I happen to know that you spent a bit of time with a Baptist church in the US of A.
I did.
Tell me a little bit about that.
That was part of my doctorate studies. I'm studying the doctorate.
So you're Dr. Cameron Eccleston.
Not yet. Not yet.
You're the Reverend Doctor.
Not yet. Not yet. Soon. Yeah, well, hopefully soon. I've got this year to complete my studies, so if it's not this year, it'll be never. That was part of my doctorate studies. I went overseas and studied eight churches overseas that had used a particular organisational change tool called Appreciative Inquiry, and I just studied those churches to see how that tool had impacted them and whether it brought about positive change or not. And while I was there, I worked at Grace Baptist Church in San Jose, in the middle of San Jose, quite different from Kiama.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
That's right.
And you do?
I do. I do know the way to San
so
Jose.
So tell us about San Jose.
San Jose is a mix of African-Americans, Hispanic and white Americans, and it was an inner-city church, or what they call downtown San Jose, and it was an interesting church. It was a church that had its heyday back in the 50s and 60s, and was slowly dying off, but now has found some new life. And it ministers in amazing ways to the homeless and to the mentally ill. And so there was interesting times where I would be preaching on a Sunday morning and a mentally ill patient would just walk down the middle of the aisle and I'd just continue preaching, wondering what on earth is going to happen. And then they'd wander off. And it was an amazing place because you stood in front of that church and you just felt that this would be the kind of people that Jesus would be ministering to.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you're saying, very different to the environment in Kiama.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Kiama's a coastal town. It's a holiday destination, you know, quite affluent. It was quite different from San Jose.
And so that you found that time to be, you know, it stretched you, you know, you grew through that time?
Oh, absolutely. It was a fabulous time. It was just great to step out of your own ministry situation, but to step into a ministry situation that was quite different from Kiama was a fantastic period and rich in time and challenging and really helped me to think through what God was doing in this world. It was fantastic time.
You're listening to Cameron Eccleston on Pulse 94.1. Straight to the heart on Pulse 94.1. Cameron Eccleston has been our guest this week. He's the minister at Kiama Baptist Church. Cameron, you've been telling us about you know, your Kiama Baptist journey into new premises. I'm wondering, you know, what's left to do? What's on your to-do list? What are the things in, you know, in Cameron Eccleston's life? You've still got an empty box with a tick awaiting. What's next for you, do you think, mate?
I've got to finish that doctorate.
Okay.
That's going to take my time this year. I'm about halfway through my thesis. So if I can finish off my final project and submit that, I'll be very, very happy this year. In fact, that doctorate has consumed a portion of my life since I've been in Kiama. So that's been almost 8 years now. And so to finish that off will be a great relief.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm hoping that from that might come a book. I'm hoping to write a book.
You might become an author.
I hope so. There is an author in the US that I had an opportunity to meet through my studies, and he's very interested in my work, and I would be grateful for his help in getting that published. And there is material there to be published, but you know, one step at a time. You know, I've got to finish my doctorate first, and then we'll see about a book. But yeah, that is my priority, to be honest, Peter, is getting my doctorate done this year, getting the church into a new building, and making sure we haven't arrived as such, that we continue to pursue what God is calling us to do, to be the church that He wants us to be in the Kiama region.
I think that's a pretty big calling right there.
Absolutely.
Cameron Eccleston, thank you very much for your time, mate. I look forward to seeing you again in the very near future.
Thanks for having me, Pete.
You've been listening to Cameron Eccleston from Kiama Baptist Church right here on Pulse 94.1. My name is Peter Chapman. I'll speak to you same time, same place next week. Bye for now.